Hello and welcome to this Meetings Today podcast. I'm Tyler Davidson, Vice President and Chief Content Director for Meetings Today, and we are here on site at ASAE's annual in Atlanta 2023, and we're here with Gary A. LeBranche, who is the Chief Executive Officer of RIMS. Thanks for joining us, Gary.
Thank you very much for having me, Tyler. I appreciate it, and love being with you here in Atlanta.
And tell me what RIMS does, first of all.
RIMS, our formal names, is the Risk and Insurance Management Society. RIMS serves the risk management community. We engage with about 200,000 risk management professionals every month all over the world. We produce a magazine called aptly Risk Management, provide a certification program for risk managers, and our convention is called Risk World. And so we bring risk managers together with the insurers, the underwriters, and the whole risk management community that helps to make the world safer, more secure, and more sustainable.
And we were talking right before we started taping this, and just my personal experience covering this industry, you know, risk management was such a huge issue, unfortunately, because of some very tragic events that happened. And then the pandemic hit, and it just seemed like that just sucked all the energy out of the room for that and other issues. And now the pandemic thankfully is waning. Issues such as DEI and sustainability that were hot before it are back. I am just hoping that risk management gets back on people's radar, because I think it's so important, and I'm guessing you agree with me on that.
Well, risk management is very big and very hot and growing in the corporate community. Our members work for corporations, universities, health systems, colleges, universities, state and local and federal government agencies, all manner of companies and organizations. And right now there's a huge demand for risk management, and they can't fill the jobs fast enough out there. So the world is definitely more focused on it. And now one of my goals is to do what you just suggested, that is help the association community and the meetings and planning community get more focused and really think through and become more strategic about their risk management.
And I guess it's just, it's probably a basic function of when you didn't have a bunch of people meeting in one area, some of those risks that were inherent with that just were off the table for a couple years. And now I guess it's sort of a natural curve that we're ramping up and these big groups are getting together again.
Yeah, back when we were unfortunately sitting on our couches in our basements for a couple of years there, or for a while, depending on where you were, your risks were mediated somewhat, you didn't even have to worry about workforce risk and, slips and falls in the office or things like that. But now we're back, we're back working, we're back meeting, and meetings are a wonderful example of where risks really are abundant, and we have to think through those risks in order to make sure that the millions of people who attend our events every year are safe.
And for, planners who may not be super well versed in this subject, what are some kind of top of mind things you would recommend to them and resources they should check out to make sure they're doing all they can to keep their attendees safe?
Well, you really have to take a all hazards or all risks point of view and think through every aspect of, say, your meeting. Here is a good example at the ASA meeting with some, 5,000 folks here. Obviously, you have slip and fall threats, wet floors, someone drops a grape, all those sorts of things. Safety risks, people coming in or people doing harm to each other. Food related risks, transportation related risks. We have people on shuttle buses, and shuttle buses have been known to break down. Shuttle buses have been known to get in accidents. And then, of course, you just have all the other risks of people. Health issues, things of that nature, diabetic incidents, heart attacks, all of those things. And then, of course, you have weather, and you have the possibility of protests, and you have the possibility of other external events impacting your convention, just as one impacted ours back a few weeks ago. So you know, I'm saying all this not to make people frightened or scared, but knowledgeable and thoughtful about how you have to think through and prepare for the most significant risks that you might be facing in your environment.
And it's not only a risk to an attendee, it's a risk to an organization if, you know, God forbid something bad happens and it gets litigated and they go into court and the first thing they're going to ask is, well, what did you do to mitigate a risk like this, right?
That's exactly right. And, you know, unfortunately, we've seen acts of violence take place at large-scale events. There was the terrible shooting in Las Vegas at an outdoor concert not that many years ago. Dozens were shot at that event, those are the kinds of things that unfortunately are happening all too often. You know, I heard a story yesterday of a convention where high school students were at 14,000 high school students were at a convention, and a bunch of the students were walking on the public street in the broad daylight. And two guys, not associated with the group at all, came out of a building yelling at each other, pulled out weapons, and started shooting each other. And both of them were shot right in front of about 500 students. And talk about a traumatic incident. And of course, their parents and their teachers are all upset. And they went right to the association. Why didn't you protect them better? And of course, trying to protect 14,000 teenagers wandering around the streets, it's an impossible task, right? But they did respond with counselors and helping them in any way that they could. Those are some of the things that, unfortunately, we have to think about today.
And I know from sitting in on your great session that someone made the comment that you can't expect the projectionists to all of a sudden turn into Rambo and thwart off the violent attacker, but. You know, everyone needs to be trained in some respect to be aware and to help, I guess you can't prevent the attack, but, you know, maybe you can lessen its severity. Maybe kind of talk around that issue on, you know, how an organization, what steps they should take to train their own staff. And then also, what should they ask a facility about their plans that are in place?
Those are great questions. I'm going to tell you about what we did. And, you know, RIMS is a pretty risk-aware environment because we have a board full of risk managers. And they have helped us create our risk management plans for the convention, for Risk World. We have a 72-page document that, as you can imagine, documents all sorts of things. We also train our staff. We offer CPR training. We pay for CPR training. We pay for their time to take CPR training. We walk through different scenarios with the staff and with our vendors, their key vendors like housing and shuttle bus operators, to walk through that. We provided active shooter training about how to avoid delay or fight back or run away, and that was a very interesting training, I would say. We made sure that everybody knew where all the AED devices were and how to get an ambulance and where the ambulance would come to, confrontation deconstruction training. I guess that's not the right word, but that's what they did. So, and we also looked at our insurance policies. You can help transfer some of these risks through insurance, including active shooter insurance. So there's lots of ways for us to protect ourselves, not just the training of staff or having the projectionist try to take out an armed assailant, but to think through vulnerable spots, look for potential casualty areas where, you know, something might break, somebody might slip and fall, those sorts of things, and protect yourself with proper insurance.
And, you know, some sort of a big news here that RIMS, along with ASIS, has entered into, I guess, a partnership or a collaboration with ASAE. It was just announced, I think, yesterday or today. What does that entail, and how will that result in ASAE improving their efforts in that area, and then also their members' associations?
Yeah, well, yes. So ASAE, RIMS, and ASIS are entering into a collaboration to help heighten the level of the visibility of risk management, particularly around safety and security at conventions and meetings. And this was in part sparked by a number of different incidents, including an incident at my convention in May here in Atlanta. A mass shooting took place 2 miles away. It did not involve anyone from my convention, but it did impact my convention because the security perimeter, the lockdown perimeter, involved 4 of the 32 hotels in my room block, and also 2 of the 8 shuttle bus routes in the room block. And so we, long story short, we wound up, we had to monitor the situation. We were with the chief of police of the Georgia World Congress Center, monitoring the situation, communicating to our attendees, first, stay in place, stay in the convention center, it's very secure. And then we communicated through various means to let everyone know that we eventually canceled the closing general session and canceled the closing party. So that has prompted a heightened conversation around safety and security conventions. And I've been literally asking for a call to action, or issuing a call to action to the whole community, for us to do just what you were suggesting, to raise the level of awareness and to think through this and provide some more tools. So our collaboration with ASIS and with ASAE will provide some education, some resources, and I think most importantly, a toolkit that will help guide associations and meeting planners to think through and better prepare for all kinds of hazards and risks, and outline different ways of transferring and reducing those kinds of risks.
Is there any idea of a timeline when this toolkit may be available, or any target dates?
We haven't gotten to that level of planning, but the goal is certainly within the next year. So yeah. By the time we come back to the next ASA annual conference, which I think is going to be in Cleveland, that's the goal that we're currently sort of broadly shooting for.
Well, thank you, Gary, for helping to bring this really important issue to the front burner again as the meetings and events industry really gets back up and running to almost to pre-pandemic levels. I really appreciate it, and I think the industry does. Where can people learn more about RIMS?
Oddly enough, RIMS.org is the place for risk management. We have lots of resources. We have resources that are available, obviously, to the public, and more to our members. And we do have associations that are members of RIMS, because for these very, very reasons, you know. And risk management just isn't related to safety and security. It's really thinking through all the strategic aspects of business. Many companies now conduct what's called an enterprise risk management process. That looks at the entire organization and thinks through all sorts of risks, including talent risk and reputational risk, political risk, regulatory risk, and all those sorts of things. So it's a big field. There's a lot to know and a lot to learn.
Oh, great. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And that was Gary A. LeBranch, the CEO of RIMS. I'm Tyler Davidson, Vice President and Chief Content Director for Meetings Today. Thank you for joining us for this Meetings Today podcast from ASAE in Atlanta. If you're interested in more of our podcasts, head on over to meetingstoday.com and check out our podcast section, where we have a variety of interviews with thought leaders in the meetings and events industry. Thanks for joining us, and no matter what you're up to with the rest of the day, go out and make it great. Thank you.